discipleship hour for those who are seven-ish and younger, if you're going to partake of that. I just saw the kids leaving already, but in case you missed it, you're not seven-ish. So as the title says, I want to talk about how it all got started today. Back to Genesis 1, because in solidarity with our brothers in Canada and the U.S., jumped ahead to the issue of male and female, biblical sexuality last week. But I want to go back to the beginning, pun intended, and take a look at how it all got started, how it all got here. Now, apart from a few people, everyone agrees we're here. We're real, physical. The material world is real and we are in it. The atheists agree with that. And those who believe God put us here or whatever else they might believe, all believe the same thing about the material world. The dyed in the wool, that means true and true, all the way through, fully, really, completely, genuine atheist. There is no God. There is only the material. Also has to say, then, there is nothing after this life. And almost no one says that when funeral time rolls around. Why? Because there is this sense of there's more to life than just the material, just the physical. And just have we have a higher plane of reasoning and rationality and understanding and relationship than do, say, animals who are material, physical, and they live. So too, there's something beyond just this physical. Hence why just about everyone says they're in a better place. Whether they are or not, there's this idea that they're someplace else. Why is that there? Well, just like why we're here and why we are who we are, that is there. The sense of eternity, as it says in Ecclesiastes, is in each of our hearts. There's a sense that there's more. There's also something else that pretty much everyone agrees on. There's such a thing as good and evil, or good and bad. Let's take the true atheist, all that we know and all that there is what we know here, the physical material world, and they say therefore it is bad to teach religion. They have a concept of good and bad, good and evil. That which is beneficial and that which is harmful or detrimental. Now, where do they get that idea from? Because if we are nothing but a bunch of chemical reactions, only material, then where do we get the idea of good from? That's the point I want to end on in a little while, not yet. The basis for calling anything good. Now, I'm somewhat embarrassed to say I've seen Star Trek. All of them. The original ones had Spock. No emotion, right? Live long and prosper. What does it mean to prosper? What does life mean? And Spock would look at something that probably Kirk would say, look at that, it's beautiful. And he would raise one eyebrow and say, I'm perplexed by your response to the flaming ball of gas that is about to destroy the ship. Look at it from only a physical, material aspect. Now, the next round had a robot in there. I think Data was his name. Robot, trying to be human, but always evaluating things based upon the physical only. And so there would be a collision of assessing what's good and what's bad. Well, those are actually pictures of what it would be like to be solely a materialist and someone who's honest with the fact that there's something else going on than just the physical. This has always mattered, but I have a hard time fathoming when in this country this issue has ever mattered more. Because the discrepancy, the difference, the division between what people call good and what people call bad is enormous. The chasm is unfathomable, huge. How do you get there? That's right. That is the question to ask. How do you get there? And the answer lies in, how do we get here? Because how it all got started is going to be the beginning, which leads to a particular end. How it all got started, the answer is why we're here, will dictate how we decide what's good and what's bad. And it'll lead us to a point where we are divided over whether or not a sixth grader should be coached to secretly change their gender, choose their bathroom, choose their pronouns, choose their locker room, and don't tell mom and dad. Multiple cases in this country in different states where schools are being sued by parents who've come to find out that their child, as young as the sixth grade, how old is that? Just say it. How old is sixth grade usually? How old are you usually in sixth grade? Somewhere around 11 or 12 years of age are being coached to choose their career for the rest of their life. It can never be changed, and don't tell your mom and dad. That's silly. We would never do that. No, they're being coached to choose their gender. And along with that, the pronouns they want used and whatever bathroom they want to use, whatever locker room they want to use. And parents have found out that this was going on. And they were being told, don't tell your parents. Obviously, those doing that thought, this is a good thing. They even thought they were doing good for the kid. Well, they're confused. They're depressed. So this is good for them. Is it? Mom and dad, of course the ones that are suing at least, said this is not good. This is bad. Is it? I don't know. How do you decide? That all depends. It all depends on how this all got started. How we got here. Because that will dictate your basis. The grounds on which you stand when you say this is good, that is bad. Some of you are sitting here going, all right, just get on with it and get it over with already. You just decided that a short sermon is good. We do it all the time. We're constantly deciding what's good and what's bad. Question. On what basis? Remember a number of years ago, Ellen Ola, who's no longer an Ola, but she's still Ellen Ola, taking classes down at Sonoma. We had a discussion. She was over at my house, everyone else, and talking about how you decide that. And she said, yeah, everyone's, you know, basically it's the consensus. Consensus decide what's right or wrong. I go, there's a lot of dead people in Cambodia who don't like that idea. Killing fields, anybody? Yeah, we always jump to the example of Hitler. There are examples from every culture, from every time. where consensus decided something that we now say is the evil of all evils. What's the example from today? What's the evil of all evils? Well, we would agree with that. As our culture, according to our culture right now, what's the evil of all evils? Slavery! Forget the fact that it exists right now in other countries. Forget the fact that people of one ethnicity have enslaved people of that same ethnicity. That is the evil of all evils. And if you were related to someone who even knew someone, who lived next door to someone, who heard about someone who was connected to slavery, you're guilty. Why? Says who? How do you decide that? It's being decided all the time. This is what's good. It's why I hate commercials. They're constantly telling me what's good and what's going to make my life better. And I'm prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. And I constantly go back to, well, what is good? What is bad? What has value? What's beneficial? What doesn't? How do we know? Well, that's decided by how we got here. Not decided by what we believe about how we got here. It's decided by how we got here, or by the one who brought us into existence. That's the application, the implication, the so what, the value in going back and looking at Genesis 1 again, and briefly looking at how it all got started. Who, when, how, and why. As I said when we started this, it's not going to be a verse by verse or four verses every week kind of study. It's more of a broad stroke, big picture, theological issue kind of way of looking at things. I jumped ahead last week, so now we've got a little overlap. The order of things isn't quite as smooth, but here we are this morning. How did it get started? What's good? What's bad? Join me in prayer, then I'm going to read Genesis 1. Father in heaven, thank you that not only did you make, not only are you and have you always been, but you have made yourself known. How you created, why you created, what you would have for us. What we could have if we trust you. Father, grant that as we're in your word, contrary to how we might naturally believe or what we would want to believe, because in the end it suits what we really want to do and what we feel, grant that we would understand your word, you, that we would know who you are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that ultimately we would have eternal life through Jesus, that you would not only be our Maker, which you are, no matter what we say, think, do, or believe, but you would be our Father through the work of Christ. Through your love demonstrated while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Father, grant us that as we consider the beginning, how it all got started. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 1, I'm going to read the whole chapter, but we're just going to jump through it. After I read it, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its own kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate a day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God said, set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. There was evening, there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. So, how did it all get started? Who created? Well, that's easy. Verse 1. God. That's right. We have the verses that follow also, and we have the New Testament, which says that Jesus did in John 1, Colossians 1. That was read for us a moment ago. So which one is it? The answer is God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's three in one. We see that indicated here in the text itself before us. Verse 2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And as was mentioned last week in verse 26, when it came to man, God said, let us make. You say, well, now that might have just been like the royal us, like we. And he was speaking to the angels. We were not made in the image of angels, male and female. We're made in the image of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And while early on it might have been more confusing, and you know, the Spirit, is the Spirit God or is the Spirit not God? The Old Testament treats the Spirit as God, not simply a power or an extension of God. You've got God walking in the garden, as mentioned here in chapter 3. You got God showing up to Abram? What is going on? Oh, thank God for the New Testament. Jesus is the Son of God. God incarnate. God became man. The Holy Spirit is also God. Acts chapter 4, they say, why'd you lie to God? Why'd you lie to the Holy Spirit? In two different verses. Which is it? It's one and the same. You say, we already know this. We get this. I want you to see it in the text. It's indicated there in Genesis. It's made very clear in the New Testament that God is triune. Here's how that matters. God was never alone. Here's how that matters. Why did God make us? So we can have someone to love. Nope. Love already existed. God is love. We love saying that, don't we? Love saying God is love. Who is he loving? The other persons in the Trinity. Inseparably God, yet there's distinction in the persons. So that the Father decrees, the Son is the Word, the Spirit's the agent, makes it happen. I don't know. Try to wrap my mind around it. At the end of the day, I don't have to wrap my mind around it. Know that it is. And it's already there in Genesis 1 and made ever more clear as you go through Scripture into the New Testament. Baffles me as you read through the New Testament. The apostles don't ever sit down and explain. Well, you see, the reason we're calling Jesus Lord and the reason we're worshiping him is because he's fully God, inseparable from the Godhead, yet distinct. They never say that, but without batting an eye, Jesus is treated as God because he is spoken of, worshipped. The Holy Spirit is spoken of as God because God is three and yet he is one. You say, that's just too much for me. I mean, how can that be? We know nothing like that. Yeah, how do we get here? You say, well, you see, there was this cosmic piece of dust that created all matter energy that appeared and exploded, and here we are. You ever see that happen? No. Can we make it happen in the lab? Nope. So you already believe something that you can't wrap your mind around. Thank God for his word. Light in the darkness. Pun intended, because that's how things were kind of at first. Darkness and formless. When did God do this? In the beginning. You thought I was going to give you a year, didn't you? But again, why does that matter? Time exists only because God created it. Time exists only because God created it. Before the beginning, he was. And he is. But when did this come in the beginning? When he said, and it was, and it is. In the beginning. And he did it in 6 days. There's the literal time you were looking for. I know you wanted a year also. Not giving one. Yes, I'm a young earther. How young? I don't know. 4,000, 5,000. Can we track all the families that are there and get it down to the year? I don't think we can. I don't think we have to. But he did it in 6 literal days. You say, now I heard that this is poetry. No, it's not. How can you say that? Because it's not. I can translate Genesis chapter 1 from the Hebrew rather easily. You know what that tells you? It's not poetry. Because I'm not very good at Hebrew. I cheat. I use my computer program. But I get to Hebrew. I mean, I get to poetry in the Hebrew, and it's like, okay, here we go. Why? Word order doesn't matter. Words are left out. And Hebrew poetry says things in parallelism, saying the same thing twice in two different ways, or say it once one way, then contrast it another way. It has different ways of doing that. That's the way it does it. You see that really easily in Proverbs, right? In our English Bibles, most of them tend to format poetry differently than the rest of stuff, like narrative. How do they know that? Because of the text itself. It's not poetry. It's not poetry. So don't tell me it's just figurative and this isn't really how it happened. It's just giving you big ideas. No, it's not. It's not poetry. Nothing in the text says it's poetry. And you know what the text says again and again and again and again and again and again? Morning and evening, day. Then it says what? Say it. Morning and evening, day. Two. Morning and evening, day. Next comes three, Larry. Three. Day three. Right? Again and again. There's your repetition. Okay. How long was each of those days? 20 seconds. No, can't be. Why not? We're talking about the one who just brought time into existence and all matter into existence. The day could have been 20 seconds long. Oh, then it could have been 20 million years long. Huh. Could have. Nothing in the text leads us to believe that. Not only in this text, but in the text that follows, and the text that follows that, and the text that follows that. Exodus chapter 20, you shall work for 6 days. Because in 6 days, God created. That's when we're going to make Scripture deceptive. If we make a day anything other than how it would have been understood, perceived, and experienced by the original audience. He made it in 6 days. In the beginning, Jesus says, he gets asked a question, he loves to respond with questions and bring up Scripture. He was good at that because he was talking to Jews who thought they knew the Scripture. And he says, do you not know that in the beginning God created the male and female? Guess who was there in the beginning? Male and female. So it wasn't that we had day one, that was the beginning. And a couple of billion, a trillion, a zillion, a quadrillion, a gajillion, a trillion, I make up some word for it. Then there's male and female. Nope, they were there. Not on day one, but in the beginning. When God created in 6 literal days. Say, I don't know about that. Because we have analyzed things. And we figured out that there are some things that are a lot older than 5,000-6,000 years old. But I believe that God made. That happens in the earth. I just think, based upon what we, who have been around for that long, have observed and calculated, that it's way longer, so you can't understand this way. Okay, so God created that speck of matter that contained everything in it that mattered, that needed to explode for everything else to come. How would you have known how old that matter was? Well, let's say he did create Adam. When you looked at Adam, how old would he have looked? 25, that's the prime of life, right? See that? You're not there yet. I'm way past it. I don't know how old he would have looked, but he wouldn't have looked like a baby in the womb. How old he looked and how long he was around, two different things. How can God do that? Did you remember verse 1 in the beginning? There was no time apart from him. Right? You don't have a problem with science and Scripture. You have an authority problem, ultimately. You also have a miracle problem. Jesus made some really good wine. He had some really old growth vines in a vineyard that was in his family for years. And he grew those grapes. And he collected those grapes. And he pressed them out. And he stored that grape juice in aged barrels. Actually, it would have been a cistern made of rock, probably. That had been around so long, it had been discolored by all the wine that had been made in it. And then after it would ferment for the proper amount of time, he corked those bottles and let them sit in a cave at the perfect temperature. So that when he was at that wedding and they were out of wine and his mother said, "Can you please do something?" He said, "Guys, go back to my private reserve and get my really old vintage wine." Nope. They gave him water, they drank wine. The wine appeared very old. But it only existed for a few minutes. Do you have a problem with that? If you do, be honest with yourself. And don't put God in some kind of box that says, if we observe something some way, then it must have happened this way or that way. He made time in the beginning. And within a relatively short amount of time, 5 days, there's male and female. How did he do this? Again, back to chapter 1, verse 1. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago, the word created is only used of God. Other words are used in this passage also, he made. But the word created allows for the understanding that only God can do that. He does it from nothing. And as he made everything that he made, as you heard or saw earlier, even with the plants, verse 11, each according to its kind. Verse 22, with all the birds and living creatures. Verse 24, let the earth bring forth living creatures and according to their kinds. Livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. He did it without evolution. Without macro evolution. He didn't make one kind of creepy crawly thing and say, okay, now you're going to have this family tree that's going to come from you. And other different looking from you crawly creature things are going to come many millions of years down the road. So that you will not look anything alike. But there will be missing links along the way that you'll not be able to perceive. But oh, they're there, trust me. It's not how he did it. Each according to its kind. Except as you remember from last week, because I know you were listening. When it came to male and female, it wasn't let there be. Each according to its kind. It was let us make in our image, male and female. And yet again, what you have, male and female.
Are you trying to tell me that all the ethnicities and all the peoples of the world came from this one guy and this one woman? Okay, smarty pants, Mr. Bible guy. Who did their sons and daughters marry?
Each other. Okay, Mr. Atheist. We all came from a one-cell amoeba slimy thing that came from one speck that had all the mass, energy, and information needed so that here we are. I don't know, which is it? One full-grown male and female with all the necessary genetic information that you could have a variation in their offspring and different ethnicities. Not hard to believe? Or from one cell? It's not a matter of logic or reason. Not if everyone's going to be honest. It's not. It's an authority issue. But that's how we did it. I'm being very brief on each of these points. Some of you want more information on them. I can help you with that. Number of you went to a whole day seminar on this kind of stuff. There's plenty of resources out there. But even within quote-unquote Christendom, people are trying to say this is poetry and this allows for evolution. The text does not. And if we are the authority over the text, literally, Lord have mercy. Because we'll make that text say anything we want. And I will justify then everything I'm doing. Even if you call it bad. Why did he do this? Contrast again the two prevailing views. Christianity only is not consider other religions, but same difference in some ways. Versus atheism. Atheism, we are here by chance. Good morning, accidents. You weren't planned. None of you are planned or wanted. You're here by chance. That goes over well in deciding what you're going to do next and the point of your life and what's good and what's bad. But no, we know why God did this. See, when you're reading Scripture and you want to understand the point of something, if it repeats itself, pay attention. If you want to understand Scripture as you're studying it and reading it and it repeats itself, pay attention. Repetition is important. That's how points are made. I'm often told to repeat myself and slow down. I have trouble with both of those. I don't like repeating myself and I don't like speaking slowly. But it's helpful. Repetition. What word did you hear or have you read in Genesis again and again and again? What word? Good. Connected to that is the idea of blessing. He even blessed the animals. He blessed them. May goodness and all that is beneficial be upon you. Now be fruitful and multiply. I don't know why they had to hear that, but they heard it. We heard it. It's been written. Gets to man. Blessings there also. But this repetition of good and good and good and good. And in verse 31, God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. See, what you have in the beginning is an earth that's formless and without void. If you think about it, what did that exactly look like? I don't know. But there's no atmosphere as we know it. There's no islands and landmasses and oceans as we know it. Would that be a good place to live? No. Wouldn't be able to. Wouldn't be beneficial. But as you move through, you end up with what we have now. And all the tree-hugging, granola-crunching earth muffins will agree. A perfectly balanced ecosystem. And you dare not remove any aspect in the chain or in that ecosystem. Why? Because that would be bad! Really? I'd like to kill all the sharks and see how things go, personally. I would! Because I like to surf, and I watched Jaws when I was young, because I was an idiot. And my friends would do mean things and play mean tricks, and you'd sit in the water with your legs dangling. Dun, dun. Stupid stuff! Right? Right? So, you know, I'd like to give it a shot. And besides, our great founding father of all that is right and true, Darwin said, survival of the fittest. So if I can kill all the sharks, I survive. Why not do that? Because you have to have, you know, what's it? And then the seal pop, and then, you know, and you know what it sounds like they want? They want 6 literal days of creation. Because I don't know how you have a billion years with flies. And no animals and no animal manure for the flies to eat. Australia imported cattle at one point. Then they had a real problem with flies. No dung beetles. Let's get some dung beetles in here. Let's bring those in like we brought the cattle in. Oh, but we love to say, oh no, this all happened over trillions and millions and billions and trillions of years. And we all, you know, evolve from one thing. And you can go look at these family trees that they have, and we all come back. But, you know, there's divergence along the way. Yet it's still wrong to have slaves. Really? I would agree, actually. but not based upon looking at some family tree and hearing that our motto is survival of the fittest. Kill or be killed. No, God made something that was good, beneficial for life. At first, it wasn't. And then you have this process as you go through these days, but it took days, not billions of years. Because you can have a day or two with some plants and nothing to eat them. But then, the next day, you got things to eat them and things to eat what comes out of the things that eat them. And it's good. And it's good. Very good. It's beneficial. What is it beneficial for? Because those of you who are worried that I didn't answer why he created all things was so that he would be glorified and we would enjoy him forever. I'm getting there through the text. Verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over fish, everything. Verse 28, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over everything. How do you do that? If all that there is against you, but it's not against them. God made it good, very good, so that they could then exert dominion, rule over all that God had made as image bearers of Him. And what would they do? That which is good and beneficial. And they would subdue and they would rule. And that would reflect God Himself. And they would do that. I'm jumping ahead, though I'm not going to go there now. We'll get there in 2 weeks, maybe. They would do that also, not just in His stead on earth, as His representatives reflecting Him, but in relationship to Him. Some of you may remember or know or have heard chapter 3, when they rebel, they hide. And what did Adam hear? Anyone? God walking in the garden. See, God made everything perfect for man, male and female, to bear His image and have dominion as they remained in a right relationship with Him. And at the end of 5 days, 6 days, I can count, I'm right there with you, buddy, it was very good. That's how we know what good is. You take God out of the picture. You have no basis for what's good, for what's right, for what's wrong, what's bad, what's not beneficial. You also have no hope. And the best you can do, accumulate as many toys as possible. It was a popular bumper sticker in the 80s. He who dies with the most toys wins. Keep yourself preoccupied by the things in this life and people and whatever. Or make something of yourself so that your name will be what? Forgotten after you're dead. It will be. What's, why are you here? What's the matter? You got no basis for knowing what's good, what's bad. You got no reason to think there's something after this life. You're without God and without hope in the world. If you don't know how you got here, you don't know why you're here, you got no reason to be here. When you understand why you're here and how you got here, and that you haven't been acknowledging God or giving thanks to Him, then you know you're in trouble. But the God who brought forth life as we know it has also provided for eternal life, which, yes, that's living forever, but everyone's going to do that. It's living forever with Him, like is here at the end of the 5 days, where everything's in place, man and woman are there, and it was very good. Turn with me for a few final verses as we end. John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus is God, who is with God in the beginning and is God, and He is the Word of God, and all things are made through Him. So, life that exists was made through Him. But it also says that life, as in life, knowing God now and truly being in a better place when we're pushing up daisies, hasn't made possible through the one who made this material life as we know it. John 1, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He, it's referring to Christ, Jesus, born of Mary. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What do you have in the beginning? The beginning in Genesis chapter 1, you don't have light yet. Light is needed for life. Light is needed for the plants to live, so that everything else that's not a plant that's living could eat the plants and live, and they need light also. And God brought forth light. It was formless and void. It wasn't good yet. It wasn't beneficial yet. It's not that it was evil. There's no gap theory here where it was evil and Satan did this and this happened and that happened. And that's why we have a fossil record that's a gazillion years old. No, we have no death of living creatures prior to Adam and Eve rebelling. It's not a gap theory. It's a good theory based upon the text. God was making what was good. And so light becomes a symbol for that which is good. And you go ahead and read John tonight and you'll see that. Dark and light, but it's right here in the beginning. The one who brought forth the light, meaning the sun and the stars, light for life as we know it, is also the one that brings eternal life. Being made right with the one who made us. So that we are not without hope and without God in this world, though now there is evil and there is bad, we can know God. And that's good. The chapter goes on, verse 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. We call him John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. Wait a second, was John there in Genesis 1? No. The light he bears witness to is Jesus, the one who made all things, who is the Word, who is with God, who is God. He came to bear witness about the light that all might believe through Him. He was not the light. John the Baptist wasn't the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. So chronologically, John the Baptist was there, just a little bit older than Jesus, but Jesus hadn't come on the scene publicly yet. John was on the scene publicly, calling people to repentance and a baptism of repentance from their sin, and he's bearing witness, and lo and behold, he does. Jesus comes, he says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Verse 9 again, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He came, He has come for us, past tense. He was in the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own people did not receive Him, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Who were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. See how this all that we know, how it all got started, is how we can get to life. How we understand life began is how we can get to life. Now you say, yes, God created, I believe that. That's wonderful. But that gets you to where you really need to be. God did create, it was good, but in came bad, and I do bad. And because of my bad, I should never be in His presence. I can't call Him Father. I shouldn't expect to be in a better place. But He who made the light that we call sun and stars came into the world to bring light. To bring life that can never be taken away. Jesus came to make us right with Him who brought us into this life to begin with. The issue isn't with science, technology. The issue isn't with a clear understanding of what Scripture plainly says. Our issue is ultimately an authority issue. We want to decide what is good and what is bad. But what happens when we disagree over that? Who's right? We are in a day, an age, in a situation where that is the issue. It's always the issue, but now the issue is center stage. And every debate we have, and every disagreement we have, and every division we have over what's good or bad, all gets back to how we got here. See, because if we got here by accident, I can choose my gender. Okay, I'm going to choose my ethnicity while I'm at it. Is that okay with you? Oh no, can't do that. Our being, our existence, our purpose is the starting point for where we end up making a judgment call on what is good. For those of you who are Christians, do not be ashamed of the clear, straightforward reading of Scripture. It is not contradicted or refuted by any so-called science. Matter of fact, true science points to a mind-blowing reality that could never get here by chance. And everyone is right in saying that there is good and there is bad. The issue comes down to who decides that? The one who made us. And the one who demonstrated His love, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The innocent died? That's bad. No, that's good. He was willing, God was willing, that all who believe in Him would have life as God intended, living in right relationship to our Maker. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, it's not just those out there who are wrong about what they say is good, but we have that tendency too. Maybe I just wanted to snap at someone, say something unkind or insensitive or even mean, ha ha ha, but well, after all, I had a bad night's sleep, so it's a good thing to just kind of let it fly. Maybe I hate someone. We want to decide what's good, but we don't. You do. And that good even exists. That we have some idea of good and bad is because You are. You are. There is a God, only one God. You are Him, Father, Son, and Spirit, three in one. We would not be breathing right now if You did not will it. Father, have mercy upon us that we would believe right now. Will it, not by the will of man, not by flesh and blood, by the will of God, grant each one in this room to call You Father because we call Jesus Lord and Savior. Young, old, boy, girl, man, woman, Father, grant us to know your goodness in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.